And this is JPR, Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. It's 8:40, and you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. We are online at jeffexchange.org for the program, ijpr.org for the whole kit and caboodle of everything we do at Jefferson Public Radio, which is three different audio services. You can check us out there. You can check us out on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Jeff Exchange. And you can take part in the program in real time as it happens in the morning. Your questions and comments are welcome by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. When keeping children with their parents would almost certainly result in abuse or neglect, the state steps in. Children end up in foster care. There's been a great deal of analysis in recent years of the foster system and its shortcomings, one of which is a shortage of foster parents. But there are other ways to help children in the system besides foster parenting. CASAs, or court-appointed special advocates, represent the interests of the foster child in the legal system. Let's get a refresher on CASAs and their work from Northern California, where Carolyn Murray is the new regional CASA outreach coordinator for Shasta and Siskiyou and a couple of other counties as well. Carolyn joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
So which counties altogether are you responsible for?
Shasta, Tehama, and Butte, and Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Not Siskiyou?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I take back the Siskiyou then. So so talk about what the CASA program really does. I mean, because everybody understands what foster parents do. They take
right.
the role of the parents. But
yes.
what do the CASAs do?
So if a child's in foster care and they are experiencing a revolving door of adults, foster parents can change, social workers can change. An advocate is an adult that is assigned to the child and can follow them through that kind of crazy adventure that they're on. And they come kind of into existence out of the need of a judge in the 1970s in Washington. He had previously served in criminal and civil courts, and he would sleep at night thinking, I had all the facts, I made the best choice for this case. And then when he went to family court, he felt very frustrated by not knowing enough and not being able to sleep at night that he had made the best choice. So he created the court-appointed special advocate, and they are trained to find the information that the judge needs to make the best decision and for the best interest of the child. And so they are trained and sworn in by a judge assigned to that child, and then they are that, you know, child that sticks with the adult that sticks with that child through all the changes, ideally.
All right. So even when the child may go from foster home to foster home,
or into group homes,
placement to whatever, but the CASA is supposed to stay with that child all through the system.
Ideally, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what the hope is. Yes. And CASAs also can help when a child goes back home. You know, the goal for most foster kids is to be reunified with the parent. And sometimes a judge is more willing to do that if there's an advocate involved, because the advocate can keep in touch and have eyes on that situation and give more confidence for that decision to have them reunified.
It's an interesting relationship. I watched it in action before as a foster parent myself. So the CASA doesn't represent the family as a whole, or the parents are just to the child.
Correct. They write a report for the judge. And I love one of our supervisors described it this way. It's a beautiful metaphor. So the social worker creates the coloring page. And then the CASA comes along and colors it in with all the colors. And so it fills in all those details about that child that the social worker just has constraints. They can't, you know, the social worker is looking at the whole family. And they have a lot of other, you know, they're hardworking, doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. Whereas the advocate is just assigned to one child. And on that report they write for the judge, there's a section where it's like the child's voice. So they advocate for what the child wants in the courtroom. And as a former foster child, when I read that as a part of the program, I thought, wow, what that changes everything, that you get to have a voice in that courtroom where these adults are talking about what they're going to do with you. You know, to have a section on a report where my words are there was just, to me, a really inspiring, wonderful, nurturing way of helping foster kids not feel so powerless.
So you decided to get back involved with the foster system after having been in it yourself. I mean, I know there are some people who talk about wanting to run headlong away from the foster system, but you decided to come back to it.
Oh, I ran headlong away.
You did.
I did,
okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to create an identity separate from that. And I'm kind of a unicorn in that I had, for whatever reason, the ability to get to college and get a degree and, you know, create this other life separate from foster kids. And I went that direction, but to be frank, I really needed this is the image in my head. It's like I've escaped out of something and I want to go back and like pull foster kids up out of this sense of being abandoned, of not belonging to anyone. And if I can get advocates that will step into the gap for them and help them through all of the trauma that is foster care, then my life will have so much more meaning than that headlong run away from foster care.
There weren't CASAs when you were in foster care, were there?
Well, they did exist,
really?
But I didn't personally have one. Mm-hmm. I did have some adults that really, I had finally a good foster family that are still my family. They just became my family. And I'm so blessed and grateful for them. And they got me to college. They like bridged that high school to college thing, which was really exciting to have that happen.
Carolyn Murray is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the regional CASA outreach coordinator for Shasta, Tehama, and Butte counties in Northern California. Join the conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the CASA program, the foster system more generally. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Not nearly as many CASAs, it sounds like, to go around, which is why there are people like you who are outreach coordinators. I mean, what? Yes. It sounds like some interesting mixes of skills here. You have to be compassionate enough to be able to deal with the child one-on-one and yet also organized enough to be able to compile a report for the judge and handle the legal ramifications of the job.
We're really good at training CASAs and supporting them in what they need to do. If they need help with that report, they have it. If they need a group to sort of talk about the difficulties of, you know, whatever they're facing, whatever challenge, they get to meet with other peers and they get a peer mentor actually who has been a CASA for a while and who's, you know, seen a lot, and they help the new CASAs as well. So there's plenty of support, absolutely. To me, it's the kind of volunteering that is, your time is not wasted, and it's so significant. You really can change the life of a child.
How much training do the CASAs get? How long does the process go on?
So the training is between 35 and 40 hours initially, and that includes time in court. So you can get kind of acclimated to what that looks like. And then after that, there's 12 hours a year, so about 1 hour a month. That's really a resource for you as an advocate. We, you know, give you pizza mm-hmm. and a group to talk with. Yeah. So, and then you are expected to spend between 10 and 12 hours a month with the child, so meeting once a week. And then there's also some reporting that you have to do. You know, grant funds. There are grants that fund this that we have requirements for that. But there's help with that as well.
Mm-hmm. These are volunteer positions.
Volunteer, yes.
Awesome.
And that's really significant, Jeff, because as a foster child, when you know that everybody in your life is paid to take care of you, that's a brutal thing. And then if here's this person who's there voluntarily, they've chosen me, that you get to choose your foster child. There's a process, but you do get to choose. And so here I've been chosen by this advocate and they're here not because they've been paid. That's life-changing.
So because there is a gap between the numbers of children who could use CASAs and then the supply of CASAs, is there some sort of triage? Is there some way of deciding which cases are best positioned to get a CASA?
That's an excellent question, Jeff. They do. We have kind of like high priority, mid priority, and low priority. And a foster child would be in the high priority group if they've been moved a lot. If they have special needs that it's kind of hard for the system to track, like maybe medications or something, if they've been traumatized, those foster kids are on the high priority. Also, someone would move down if they have other adults in their life that are active, or if, say, they're 17 and a half, you know, they're going to age out of the system. Yeah, so there is it's more involved, but yes, we do definitely think carefully about pairing the advocate with the foster kid.
We certainly got the attention of at least one other CASA. We have an email here from John in Eugene who writes, thank you to your guest for the important work she does. I am a CASA in Lane County and help recruit new CASAs. There's a common misconception that CASAs are retired, and I think it's important to know that most CASAs are employed and that serving as an advocate is a very rewarding and doable volunteer activity for a working person. I particularly like to encourage men and people of color to consider CASA. In Lane County, at least, there's a great need for more advocates that match the demographics of the people we serve. Are these recruitment challenges familiar to your guest, and what is CASA in Northern California doing to recruit a diverse staff, board membership, and most importantly, advocates? That from John and Eugene. Thank you for that, John.
Yes, thank you, John, for the shout out for the that it's worthwhile volunteer activity. We are aware of the need for men. There's probably 10 women to one man in our population of CASAs. And we also have some demographics in our foster care group that don't have, you know, but we could use diversity. Absolutely could use diversity in the CASAs. And as a recruiter, I'm going to turn over whatever rock is required. I'm going to beat whatever bush. I'm going to look on every mountaintop. There's not a community I'm not willing to talk to find an advocate. Absolutely. I'm excited to diversify.
Is there a particular field or set of fields from which most CASAs seem to come?
Well, retired teachers tend to love us, which is great. We love them too. But John's right. You can do this as a working person. And it is, to my mind, professionals that are bold and are not afraid to advocate for the foster child, they stand to make a great return on their time. Yes. They take their time seriously, so I would encourage them to be a CASA.
Carolyn Murray, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Northern California CASA Outreach Coordinator for Shasta, Tehama, and Butte Counties. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about CASA, court-appointed special advocate programs, which are present, I think, in the entire region, but there could be a few gaps here and there. Obviously, some need for more people, which is part of the reason Carolyn's here. Join us on the exchange with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just so the concept of you turning over rocks doesn't linger too long. Where are you, in fact, looking for people?
I know maybe that was an unfortunate metaphor. But I'm visiting service organizations like Rotary and Elks and Lions. I am also speaking to churches. And I had my most recent presentation was Active 2030 Club, which is a really fun organization. Everywhere I go, pretty much, I tried to recruit Galena, your receptionist, when I walked in. All my friends know their days are numbered. They will be an advocate sooner or later.
So how often do the CASAs see the kids? I mean, we talked about the training requirements. I mean, 35 mm-hmm. to 40 hours to get started and probably 12 hours over the course of a year. Mm-hmm. How much time expected of a CASA? How many cases does a CASA have? How often do they see each of the kids in their caseload?
They're assigned one child. Sometimes there's a sibling set that might be assigned to a CASA if they agree to take a sibling set. And it's expected that you at least once a week for an hour. My experience of the CASAs that I've talked to is that they end up, you know, bonding with their child and wanting to spend more time. And ideally, at least an hour a week. But, you know, when you love it on a child, you sometimes mm-hmm. it's more than it's up to you, though. It's
right,
up to you.
Right. But an hour a week, which is it's a far cry from being a foster parent, for example. You are not the primary
yes.
caregiver of the child.
Correct. And, you know, you might think, well, is that going to make a difference? Social workers are really hardworking. They can't see a foster child that often. So you will have more of a bond with the foster child than the social worker because they have multiple cases. The other thing is, like, when I was a foster kid, there was one day that I would just – everything had gone wrong in my life. I was completely flattened by my circumstances. And a woman came up to me after church and said, can I take you to get an ice cream cone? She took me and bought me an ice cream cone and returned me back to my place where I was living. And it was just that enough to make me get through that day and not give up. So the least bit of assistance can do massive things for a foster child.
Just some attention from a responsible adult.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. An adult that sees them and nurtures them at whatever level, it just tips the balance. Because if they have, you know, a lot of neglect and they're questioning, like, are adults good? Are there good people out there? And then someone comes along and does something as simple as an ice cream cone. It just changed my outlook. It gave me that much more hope to get through to the next, you know, time that I got help.
Address, if you would, Carolyn, what may be an eek factor for some people. It's like, oh, these kids are troubled, you know, they've got a lot of trauma in their lives, it could be heartbreaking, all that sort of thing.
Well, since the great majority of kids are taken into care because their parents are drug addicted, it's through no fault of their own. And a lot of these kids, you know, they're really willing to respond. And they're, you know, lovable. These are the foster kids are not juvenile offenders. You know, they're not something that would, you know, they are worth spending time with, worth advocating for.
Grab the headphones. We have a phone call for you. Let's talk to Allie in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Carolyn Murray, a CASA recruiter.
Hi there. I'm calling because I recently attended a meeting where court-ordered visits came up as a possibility for CASA volunteers to supervise, and these are visits that are not for children involved in the CWS system. These are for children that have gone through family court and the judge has ordered their visits supervised. I understand that those visits are very cost prohibitive for parents, and in our county, there is a wait list for these parents to see their children. I'm wondering if that's something that CASA would be able to be involved with.
That's an interesting question. Thanks for that, Allie. Appreciate that.
Well, as far as I know, that's not what our CASAs do. I wish I could speak more about that, but because it's not something that's kind of happened in my program, I'd just rather to say at this point, I don't think our advocates do that.
Not in Shasta, Tehama, and Butte anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
And how big a shortfall is there? I mean, if you had all the CASAs you could use, what
right?
would that number be, and what is the number now?
Well, we have currently in our region about 1,500 foster kids in care, and we're serving 8%. Yes. So if I could have – my goal is if I could get 30 by June of next year in both Shasta, Tehama, and Butte Glen. That's goal number one. Are you one of that 30? I hope so.
So would they travel? I mean, if you're in Shasta County, would you stay in Shasta County? If you're in Butte County, would you stay in Butte
Unless
County?
Unless you know, some people in Butte are willing to go to Glen or vice versa, but that's totally voluntary. You're sworn in your county of residence.
Let me come back to what should have been square one. You are a CASA yourself?
Not yet. The training's coming up, and then I will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you really got whole – you just dove in head first to the whole
right?
thing before you even got to be a CASA yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm on a mission. Mm-hmm. I'm called to do this, and I'm excited to be recruiting advocates.
CASAs are court-appointed special advocates. They are present, I believe, in 49 states and the District of Columbia.
Yes, it's national. It is a national program. It started in Washington in 1977, and it, in the 80s, went national because it was effective.
We are linked at our website, jeffexchange.org, to both the National CASA program and to the one that Carolyn represents at Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, which is just acts as the umbrella agency for you.
Correct.
All right. So thanks again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, Carolyn Murray from Shasta, Tehama, and Butte County, CASA Recruiting.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the Jefferson Exchange, short break, and then after the top of the hour, we'll get into the issue of diversity in America and where it has come a bit off the rails. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange here on JPR.